Podcasting 2.0 for October 22nd, 2021, episode 59. Double or nothing. Once again, welcome everybody to the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening at podcastindex.org, the namespace, and of course, everything that's happening, all the gossip over at podcastindex.social. Hey everybody, how you doing? So good to have you here. It is Friday. We've got a great guest. And of course, I am Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, the man whose padded walls are more than in any asylum, my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
I'm going nuts. I'm crazy.
Yeah, it sounds good.
I feel like it this week.
I like it. What? Why are you going crazy, bro?
No, just, you know, all the stuff going on. There's always it never stops. There's always something new. Yesterday we got on, so I've been working on this live chat thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this thing's barely just pieced together with, you know, tape. And so, I'm like, okay, I want to get an idea of how it feels. So, I mean, we need some people in there, need some interaction. I want to see how the flow is and the UI and all that kind of mm-hmm, jazz, you know, mm-hmm. Just rudimentary stuff.
Sure.
And, so I posted it on the Mastodon and, a link just to a session on the server. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few people jumped in
and it started to work. People were replying.
It worked for, all of about, 45 seconds. And then, I said, hey, you know, there's no user input sanitization. There's none of that in here.
Right.
This is all, you know, this is just wireframe stuff. Well, you know, of course the JavaScript guys get in there and just immediately start, you know, freaking out and going and like taking over everybody else's browser, sending JavaScript and their, you know, tags and their messages.
Yeah.
So it devolved into chaos.
How much we forget about how things work in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to put in 8 million things to stop the script kiddies.
Yeah. Ryan Hirsch changed the entire UI for everybody in Comic Sans. Font.
What was the point? Was the point to just show their prowess or just to mess with you, Dave? What do you think the point was?
Yeah. It was both.
Yeah.
It's a twofer.
That's very funny. I remember the first time I did Reebok was my client. We built planetreebok.com. I'm talking the 90s. And
Planet Reebok, the pumps. Where you pump?
The pump? Yes. We did the launch of the pump, but this was still Shaq was their big guy, right? Literally. Okay. And so they had Shaq, and we went to the I think it was probably the Super Bowl, but Shaq was going to be there. So we were interviewing Shaq, and we had set up an IRC chat. That, you know, this is 90. What could possibly go wrong, right?
it just makes me halfway through what was going on yesterday, I was just laughing. I was laughing so hard because the crap was flying everywhere. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the night before, I was with Chris Jacob. God, Chris, we got to get Chris on the show one time. He's been through every podcast war with me, and so we have the IRC going, and then there's a net split. Boom! Someone hijacks the channel, which we've been promoting, which Reebok had, you know, put in their print advertising. So now, and there's this guy going like, no, I don't want any commercial crap here on IRC. Go away. I'm not giving this up. So we had to coax this guy until like 3 a.m. you know, and then finally, I can't remember what we had to do, but yeah, you know, we finally just got control back. It was like, holy crap. So it's those kinds of things, you know, you don't think about it. And quite honestly, it's really kind of fair that way. You know, I remember the first days I came in with my, even before MTV.com, but I was MTV guy on the Usenet groups, and people were like, F off, commercial a-hole. I'm like, what do you mean, man? I just want to participate in the alt.music conversation. Nah, get out of here.
Suit.
Yeah, suit, really. So that's fair. It's fair. We came in, we ruined a lot. No doubt about it. We made a lot great, but we certainly ruined a lot. There you go. So I feel that. Yes, I know exactly how that went. It's beautiful. Well,
this, the same thing happened with Freedom Controller at the very beginning, because we were putting that in. And this is just the way I work. I typically will, I need to get something sort of put together, it just so that I can begin to have a sense in my head of what, of where the, of what the pieces are and how it's going to fit. And so, like, user input sanitization is fairly low on the priority list until you actually have something that you really want to put out there and have people use.
Yeah, of course.
Because, like, it's not that difficult. Now, that's probably a controversial thing to say, but when it comes to, you know, the way I do it typically with user input sanitization is, I mean, I just take it, I just strip everything, heavy hands, content right. security policies. I mean, just to, you know, to the wire, to the bare metal, nothing but text, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, all the HTML gone, everything. And then you build back up just enough to get what you need.
You actually build back better.
You build back better. You do. Yeah. Yeah. But just not, you know, not for you. But,
right. For someone else. You always build back for someone else.
You build back better. Only the amount of content that's, that you want to allow. So it's like, you know, whitelisting whitelisting versus blacklisting. So you're only allowing the things, you block everything and only allow the thing you want. And so it's really not that hard in the grand scheme of things, as long as you, especially if you, as long as you get the server side stuff right, the client side is fairly easy to lock down. And, but I remember when I was first doing, putting pieces together in the Freedom Controller and that kind of thing, and the parser was working and the river was working, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, you know, why am I seeing random JavaScript execute on the river homepage? Like, it was just accidents. Sure. You know, JavaScript will get into a feed sometimes.
No, of course. You know? Yeah, of course. From the blog post, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, and there's no name. Back then, there was, you know, there's no namespacing of Java anything, JavaScript anything. So, like, all of a sudden, something would stop working on the page, and I would go into the console and see that it's like, such and such is doesn't have such and such object doesn't have this function attached to it. I'm like, yes, it does.
Or it was mining Bitcoin.
No, because it was overridden by something that came out of the feed. It's just nuts.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, here's a motivating jingle for you.
For a better life beyond your freedom, build back better for someone else.
There you go.
It makes me want to have a cup of coffee.
Doesn't it? So what's the status of it? How are you feeling about the live stuff?
Oh, it's coming along. I'm blowing up stuff today. So one thing that happened yesterday was that it revealed that it's better to have. It's probably going to be better to split it out. I've got this unwarranted obsession with putting everything into a single binary, and. I don't know where it just comes from, the way I've always thought, but we've moved beyond because of ease of use. Like back in the day, if you wanted to ship something, it was easier if you just shipped it all packaged.
Yeah. One big monolithic bundle. Sure.
Yeah. But nowadays, I mean, we have things like Docker and stuff like that.
I'm always difficult. So amazed when I watch my Linux Mint update to a system update. And you just watch all these different sources is pulling from all these different places. I'm like, it's amazing this shit works at all.
Did you ever do Linux from scratch?
Yes, once. LFS? Yeah, once.
Yeah, once. Everybody only does it once.
Yeah.
It's such a horrible thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that one small door in the red light district of Amsterdam. Everyone only goes in there once. That's it.
Yeah. It's like, I don't really enjoy spending 20 hours compiling binaries from source. I mean, it's just not, you know.
No.
But anyway. No, it's going good. I mean, I think we're going to switch it to XMPP, which is
Alex Gates has been pushing for that, right?
Yeah, you know, that's just Jabber. Yeah. Is what that is.
But the protocol's been around for what, 20 years, 25 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah,
and that's the kind of stuff you want to use.
That's exactly what you want to use. Yeah, exactly. So how will that work then? What's the concept? How do you tie it all together? Does everyone have to have a certain type of what extra do you have to participate? I guess is the question.
That's to be determined. So the way you want to build these kinds of things is you want to say, okay, here are the pieces. And Alex had a good sort of graphic yesterday. He just posted a screenshot of YouTube Super Chat. You've got your video stream, and you've got your live chat over to the side, and then below it you have comments.
Oh, right.
You have comments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so those are
three different things. So you've got things.
Four pieces really there. You got your stream, your super chat, your regular chat, and your comments. And then, so what you want is you want to have each one of the pieces defined so that you can say, here's how you do this. You're going to want to use this for the stream, this for super chat, this for chat, and these for comments.
So right. So you need a kit.
A kit, yes. Start a
kit. Podcaster kit. Okay. So we'll need, obviously, streaming stuff for the stream. But it's just going to be compatible with Icecast or something, I guess?
Yeah. You know, just something.
OBS, just real, whatever.
Super easy for that. Stuff. There's lots out there.
Then for Super Chat is Boostergrams.
Then the chat. The Boostergram part, you have to figure out how to package it. You want to know what the transport is, because the Boostergrams are, you can get them off your box, but how do you get them to the client? So you would get them to the client, which would be the web browser.
So you need the piece that brings it in from your node.
So the transport for Boostergrams and chat, I was thinking before would be something like gRPC, because it's the most.
Yeah, it's direct. It's a direct connection. You can get right in and you can make a call to your node. Help me. I'm drowning, Dave. What's going on?
No, I was thinking about the reason I thought about gRPC, and this is what Alex said. He's like, well, how'd you get on the gRPC tip? And I was like, well, you know, it seemed like the best way to package everything into a stream is HTTP2. Mm-hmm. So it feels like once you have the connection set up, it's the most efficient. But you know, he had a good point. He's like, well, you know, you're still going to have to reinvent all this other stuff, like authentication, user authentication and identity and all that kind of jazz. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, if we're going to go XMPP, which already has all that stuff, we just use XMPP as the delivery transport for the Boostergrams as well as the chat.
We run that from our server into XMPP.
Yeah, so we'll have some sort of XMPP backend.
Got it. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That way everyone can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then you'll have ActivityPub
doing the comments.
Activity streams for the comments. So once you have those things defined, then you can say, okay, app.
You know, Brian of London is sitting, listening right now going, I can do that all with Hive.
I think he probably already did.
Yeah. All right.
But I mean, you just say, here's your pieces and here's the formats they each need to be. And then you have a spec. And so then everybody can follow that spec. So I think, I mean,
I'm excited. I mean, you're building it, man. So I'm, and people far more qualified than me certainly are in there. I mean, I love Alex is all over this. He has a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does for a living. You know, that's people.
Yes,
like
he's
that
a podcasting 2.0 consultant. We all know this.
Yes, that's right.
That's what he does. Yes.
It's on his business card. You can't take that crap away.
We need more nicknames for people.
More nicknames.
Well, we have the Swedish Trickler. Brian of London. I mean, that's his nickname. His name isn't even Brian. It's like, you know, it's like Josh or something. Who else do we have?
Oh, that's,
well, then we have our private nicknames for everybody, but we'll keep that private.
Yeah. We don't talk about those. You don't say them out loud.
Hey, we're getting some good love out there, on the interwebs. And I have two clips that I wanted to share because people are picking up. And, you know, this is so typical of podcasting, so analogous to podcasting 1.0, how things just start to pick up and just go. And this is a slow growth business. It's just what it is. Now, yeah. I still think it's double or triple the speed and the growth that it was the first time around. But when I hear stuff like this, this is the Lex Fridman podcast, and he's talking to Alex Gladstein, who's the chief strategy officer at the Human Rights Foundation. And I want to say it's in, hold on a second, Oslo.
Okay.
The Oslo Freedom Forum. So I think this is, I'm not too big on the Human Rights Foundation.
Yeah, can you tell me what that is? Because I know a lot of Bitcoin people like the Human Rights Foundation, but I don't know anything about it.
Well,
I mean, is it like the EFF or something? Or?
Well, it's like that's. I could do a whole podcast about the Human Rights Foundation, but there's but the problem is because there's so many places. Like, okay, the real one that I don't like is Human Rights Now. Human Rights Now kind of plays like their Human Rights Foundation. And there's just a lot of problems. But in general, I think these are pretty good people.
Okay.
But honestly, yeah. I haven't gone in deep enough into them specifically. But anything human rights, .. I'm always questioning. I just have my issues. So
I think that's because it sounds like an NGO right off
the bat. Yes, well, that's probably exactly what it is.
You think they get government money?
Okay, now let's see. Human Rights Foundation. Yeah, let's see. If they got government money, no, they probably got Ford Found. Let's see. Let's find out.
I've swerved you off the road into Power Elite Analysis now.
Yeah, but, you know, it's done. It's all we could do. Yeah. You can't. There's no turning back. Nonprofit organization describes itself as promoting and protecting human rights globally, focused on closed societies. They organized the Oslo Freedom Forum. Human Rights Foundation was founded in 2005. Gary Kasparov is the chairman.
No, the chess guy.
Yeah, yes. And believe me, he loves it when you say that. Hey, you're the chess guy.
Well, you're the MTV guy.
MTV guy, yeah. Precisely. We can't all be the pod sage.
Well, that's true.
Anyway, but regardless, they said something nice about what we're doing, so they're great.
I do know that there's technological solutions that will allow us to continue to communicate and for creators to reach their audiences without censorship. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting. Like right now, you could be deplatformed from your, you know, from like whether it's Patreon or YouTube or whatever, and your bank account can be closed down, right? There are emerging ways that Adam Curry, like the Podfather, and a bunch of other people are experimenting with.
You're the other bunch of people, Dave.
Where you can essentially have your audio podcast across a whole bunch of different, platforms. So, you know, it's censorship resistant. And then your audience can pay you over Lightning in streaming money. Like they can stream you money as they listen. Mm-hmm. So you're removing the whole advertising piece. You don't need to do advertising anymore. You have this direct relationship with, your audience. And this is possible with something like Lightning where you can do streaming money that's censorship resistant.
Well, I like these guys a lot. These are top notch people. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and whether you're fleecing money or actually helping people, doesn't matter. You know what you're talking about. We love that.
Yeah. I love these guys. I'm a huge supporter.
I am also a huge, we should put 5% split.
Yeah,
into the Human Rights Foundation. We could do that. That's fine. I'm good. They're an official nonprofit.
Oh, okay. Well, if they don't, as long as they don't get government money, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think they do. Actually, I don't think good. They do.
Hey, I'm fine with it.
Then the other one, which was pal of the pod, Gigi.
Ah, yes.
Went on the Stefan Levera podcast.
I'm super bullish, for example, on new monetization models that are currently emerging, like the value for value model championed by Adam Curry, and just podcasting 2.0, where you can stream sets and, you know, you can boost if you like something, which is like clapping with your sets, and you can send small little messages like boostograms, and you can just, you know, set the Satoshi amount you want to stream per minute, and you can support creators directly. And I think this will completely destroy the advertising model, or at least change it in a very meaningful way. And I see this not only for podcasts, but happening across all media. So for articles as well, it will be very easy to integrate Lightning in all those platforms. And I think more and more platforms will integrate Lightning, you know, just like we saw Twitter integrated Lightning tipping natively, you know, not everyone and not in the perfect way, you know, but like, you know, the Bitcoiners are up in arms that it's not perfect on the first day, but I think it will get perfected over time. And I think more and more platforms will integrate that.
And what I like most about both these clips is that the star of the clip is really Lightning. And that's good. This is, I think we're really contributing to helping the Lightning network grow. The more people hear about it, the more nutty boostergrams people send, the better it gets. Seriously, yeah. The better it gets. It's really fantastic.
Every technology needs the quote unquote killer app to drive it.
Yep.
And I just don't think
we're the porn of Bitcoin.
The porn. Yes. We should put that as the mission statement on our website.
No, I think we need a t-shirt. T-shirts and mugs. That's what we need right there. The porn of Bitcoin.
Well, now that we're deplatform, now that we're not deplatformable.
Yeah.
Undeplatformable.
Now that we're uninterruptible.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now that we're uninterruptible, we can just do it. We're good. Let's just print up some shirts.
I brought in a couple clips to make fun of at other people's expense, which, you know, I'm good at it and I like it.
Yes, you're what's called an expert.
I'm very mean, very mean. But I'm thinking since it's about Facebag and their podcasting, maybe we bring in our guest and we can have some, and he can be complicit.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, we're very pleased to have a developer on the show who we've been following from his very inception into the podcasting 2.0 arena.
Inception, not conception.
No, well, we don't know exactly what happened there, but he it was immaculate for sure. Yes. The developer of the Fountain app, the creator of the first, as far as I know, fabulous marketing promotion of doubling your sats on every single boost. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the boardroom, Oscar Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
Oscar, man.
How's it going?
It's good. Oscar of the 2X match fame. I mean, you're bringing out the big guns with the, you know, tried and true. We're going to match system. Love it.
I have to say that blew me away. That is exactly the kind of stuff I love. I know it's what we need to be doing, what developers need to be thinking of how they could promote stuff. It was unique. What was the response to it?
Yeah, it was great. And I think it just gives people a bit of a reminder to, you know, go in and boost. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about showing the podcast that you love, that you care about them and you want to support them. The interesting thing as well is we didn't actually spend any new money on that. We just took the app fees that we got from our 5% and used that to fund the 2-for-1. So I think that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
We can just take the fees that we get and kind of put them back out into these little mini marketing campaigns.
Did you
hope to do more.
Did you automate this or did you do it manually?
No, it was manual. It was actually, I thought it would be a quick job to actually send out all the 2-for-1s, but it took me about 4 hours to go through and manually do it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was in my mind, I was like, oh, how could you do that? I guess you could do a multiplier. You could put that in there. You could script it in. Like, that probably would take a lot of extra work. But I loved it. And I know that I saw for this show, I saw multiple doubles come in. So we super appreciate it. But let's talk about you, man. You're in London. What the hell do you do? Are you a developer? I mean, you just appeared into our life and we're happy to have you, but you know, we need that backstory here.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a developer fundamentally. And for the whole of this year, I guess I was a lurker on the podcasting 2.0 scene, you know, following the show, listening to it very intently and thinking a lot about it. And to give a bit of the backstory of Fountain. So me and my business partner, Nick, who's working on Fountain with me, we already had the app in development and we were focused more on the clipping functionality.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always you know, I got very lucky and got into Bitcoin quite early, but have been following Bitcoin pretty intensely for the past 4 or 5 years. And so when I started hearing about the value for value spec, I was just like, this is a no-brainer. We've got to do this. And so, yeah, as soon as we heard about that, that became, you know, a core focus for us.
Interesting. So what drove you to develop a podcast app in the first place?
Yeah, good question. I think it was a personal problem of mine, which is every time I open up my podcast app, I'd have too many episodes that I'd love to listen to, but just wouldn't be able to get to. I wouldn't have time to listen to all of the content that I wanted to. And so it was just experimentation at the start, which was, you know, how can we make it easier for people to like share the insights from podcasts? And it, like this, in the same way that you guys do, I think you do an amazing job of bringing clips to the show and, you know, giving people a little window into what you've been listening to in the week, or like what you've discovered, or like a new insight. And so that's where the idea of Fountain came from, is just allowing any listener of a podcast to do that as well. So that was, and it, but it started out just as an experiment, really. We were just like, okay, can we play around and create a UI that allows you to do that easily? Because some other podcast apps do it, but I think when you start messing around with the start time and end time, or the audio wave, it's just a lot to hold in your head. It's a lot to remember. And so because we allow clip creation through the transcript, it just makes it easier to, you know, think about it in a way where you don't have to remember so many different things in your head.
And that's really the uniqueness of your clipping system, is that it's based on transcript?
Yeah, exactly. So we transcribe every episode, and we split the transcription into blocks, which are kind of like monologues.
See, I'm not on iOS, so I really don't know, unfortunately.
Yeah, so basically, like, think about the average length of this show, for example, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. If you go back to it after the episode and you want to try and create a clip, if you do that just with the start and end time and the audio wave, it's basically, you know, it's very difficult to go in and find the bit that you want and clip it up in a way that contextually makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we split the transcript into blocks, which are kind of like the monologues. So that gives you an easier way to like browse through the conversation.
I like it.
Find the bit you want.
Now, is that
edit that?
Is that something that's running on your servers, or how is that created? Is it proprietary, the algorithm that does the transcription?
No, so right now we're using a commercial service, which is why for anyone that's used Fountain, we actually only do it on request, because it does cost us to do each transcription. But I think in the long term, we'd want to. There's some really great open source models out there that are like almost there. So I think soon, once we like have the time to be able to do this, we'll just set up our own open source transcription and produces that transcript.
Would you be able to run, so for instance, I have transcripts on this show and I create them through Otter. So can you take an SRT file and do that, you know, to break it into chunks, or is that's really happening at the encoding level of the, or at the transcription level?
Yeah, so we can do that. It just depends on the transcript format and whether we have the timestamps for every single word. So I think the transcript format that's in the Podcasting 2.0 spec just has the transcript split into, I'm not even sure the right word for it, but basically like sentences.
Mm-hmm.
But
we
need the per word timestamp so that when you edit the text, you can remove, you know, parts, and we'll just cut that automatically for you.
I think that's an option, but it would probably look like shit in the Podcasting 2.0 app than in the other ones.
So is that still SRT? Will SRT format still go down to the word by word level?
Trying to remember the name of the format. I'd have to look it up, but.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, because it would be, man, it would save you so much
processing, and
and speed it up too. Because you know, when I use Fountain in my rotation, and so whenever I'm trying to make a clip, there's always that lag, that pause there. If you had an episode that already had a transcript in it, that would be like, you could just suck it in and not even have to process it. If we can do the SRT as a per word, you know, that would just save you all kinds of time.
Yeah.
And money.
I think the way to do it, the way I've thought about it, is to create some kind of open source service that does this based on the open source models out there. So anyone could do this, or anyone could like integrate this into whether it's the hosting platform. Because the models are out there. It's just about hooking everything up into a service so you can actually use it.
So there are decent models now, because I've been searching for this kind of stuff for various projects on and off for a while, and it always seemed like the speech to text stuff was like, there was a few like poor open source things out there, and most of the really high quality stuff was all proprietary. Has that changed over the last couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. So actually, the start of this year, there's been a few models that have been released that really improved the accuracy. And that was one of the reasons why we felt comfortable going with this model of using the transcript. Because obviously up front, we were like, this is never going to work at scale because of the cost of using these commercial services. But one of the things that gave us confidence was the development of these open source models. So yeah, they are out there. The last time I checked, the one thing that was missing was the actual word level timings, but they're actually not too difficult. I mean, I say not too difficult for someone that, you know, has experience with these models. It's not too difficult to do that. It's on our list to have a go at implementing that, but it's a bit of it's a big job.
Otter does not export time codes by word, unfortunately.
No, okay. I think AWS does.
Oh, I'd switch in a heartbeat. That's no problem. Well, let's keep, you know, let's definitely keep this part, this dialogue going. Because if we can make that better, and if it helps with making clips, I'm sure Podverse would be interested too.
Mm. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, if you had something, like this that would pull in, let me back up and rephrase this. Do you think you're going to be doing comments or support for that, like cross app comments when we sort of get that, you know, finalized or in production?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Okay. Cause I was just thinking that those, you know, you could have clips and that kind of thing coming in through, once you have a comment system, you have all kinds of things that you can draw from. You know, you're crowdsourcing at that point. So then you can start putting things like, you know, clip sharing through the comments and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Hearing you talk, it's interesting because that makes more sense to me why the Fountain app, when you first launch it, the clip screen or sort of clip timeline feed is where you land first. Because that was your real main goal with that, was to do discovery through clipping.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that's like been really fun testing it is that you get a window into what other people are listening. So everyone has their core topics that they enjoy and listen to podcasts regularly on. For example, for me, it's podcasting, it's Bitcoin. But it's really interesting to just, yeah, get that window into other people's interests that you're never going to be interested enough to listen to a podcast on a weekly basis. Well, that doesn't mean that you don't get like really great insight, or, you know, make you laugh, or just by hearing a 2-minute clip from a random podcast on a topic that you've never even heard about.
Mm-hmm. Not having seen the UI, certainly not a recent version. Is there something you could do kind of like SoundCloud used to do, with comments on the timeline with boostergrams, since the app would receive, you know, presumably a copy of a boostergram with a split, you could put that into the timeline?
Yeah, exactly. We're thinking about this and definitely want to do something like that. I think it's waiting to see how the cross app implementation, how that kind of goes, gotcha, before before deciding on the UI. But yeah, I mean, that's where it sounds like everything's going. And like, you want to be able to, yeah, communicate across apps, see what people commented in what section of the show, and also like see what they're linking in terms of additional content, like mm-hmm. in exactly the same you guys do on your show, you know, bringing in a clip from this podcast saying, hey, here's another perspective on that, here's additional information if you're not too sure about this, or you mm-hmm. need to catch up.
So you want the users to be introducing that?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it adds loads of value if the user can bring, you know, yeah, a different perspective, totally. Or more information.
Totally. So you mentioned your business partner, Nick. Is there any business that you have? I mean, this kind of development is typically a vow of poverty.
It has been up until very recently. That's definitely the right word, poverty. but yeah, we actually have recently got a little bit of funding, which is great.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
And
is it from my Russian friend?
There's a few people that have been really, yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad. I'm very happy to hear that. Fantastic. Congratulations. Remember the Russians always want their money back, though. So just beware. they'll send your brother around to come and get it. To say, hey, that's cool, man. Okay, so you're able to move forward, and is your so your plan is to continue making money off of the as a part of the value for value, or do you have other thoughts about that, or the things you're going to do?
Yeah. So the way we monetize it is, I mean, it's very early, but we take a 5% fee on top of every Lightning payment.
You want to ask the reason we've decided. Yes, thank you. I wanted to ask you, sorry for interrupting, because the only, as far as I know, the only other app that takes 5% is Breeze, and most others don't. So I wanted to understand your thinking, why you did it, and for what reasons. Because I think it's more than fair. I just want to hear the story.
Yeah, I think we feel like we're providing a service. So we think it's fair to, you know, take a fee. And then what we do is we actually attach 5% on top, because we want to maintain the numerology. So if people like to send a specific boost amount, that won't get affected and our fee goes on top.
Mm-hmm.
But then also we have a premium subscription within Fountain, which is only $2.99 a month. So it's very low, and that will take the fee away. So if you're not comfortable with the fee, then yeah, you can just pay us a very small amount monthly. And that's the other way that we monetize.
Ah, okay. So it's 5% on top of every sats and or $2.99 monthly fee. And you don't get the 5%. You don't send the 5%.
Exactly.
Okay, nice. It's a hybrid model. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I subscribe to the $2.99 a month thing. It, by the way, if any app developers, I think Podverse does this, Castomatic, any developer that has their app, you know, in a store that allows a subscription, I mean, I think that is a really great idea, because it does give you some stability. I mean, we're in the early days of streaming value for value. So, I mean, a stable sort of income, cost coverage income is important. And I'll subscribe to all of those. I think everybody should. So I think that I'm glad to see that you did that. And I subscribed immediately. And I never even thought about whether there was going to be the 5%, like an added fee or whatever on top of it. I'm just like, hey, take whatever percentage you want from the boosts. And I'll also subscribe. Like, I mean, I'm fine with both. I think a lot of people would be fine with both.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
I think so, yeah. Too, actually. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what you get when you ask people to just evaluate, you know, for themselves, right?
Well, I mean, if somebody is here, here's the way I look at it. You know, if somebody cares enough about your app to use it and pay you $2.99 a month, they probably are already willing to give you even more than $2.99 a month. I mean, you know, the difference between $2.99 a month and $4.99 a month is really just not even an, is not even a thing. So at that point, I don't think the extra 5% split really even matters. I mean, it's cool that you do it, but I mean, I just assumed that you were still taking a fee on top of it. And it didn't bother me at one, you know, 1 second at all. I'm sort of a broken record on trying to get app developers to at least give people as many ways as possible to give them more money. And I just think that I would love to have like an optional, I don't even know if this is possible in the app stores, but optional, like, hey, you can give me $2.99 a month, $5.99 a month, $9.99 a month, you know, $14.99 a month, like a bunch of different options so that, you know, I can support, you know, these apps with as much as possible. I think because there's always going to be somebody out there who their $2.99 a month is my $14.99 a month or whatever, you know, and you just never know who that's going to be. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, we definitely need to do a better job on the monetization. We actually rushed that a little bit because when we first submit the app to Apple, we were a bit worried that we'd get rejected.
Yeah.
With the Lightning payments because of their strict terms and conditions. So we kind of put the premium subscription in, obviously to make money, but partly to say to Apple, hey, look, we're using your in-app purchases. Leave us alone in this other area of the app.
And so far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good.
Well, it turned out good. It was good timing for, I think, some of these things because, you know, you had the Japan, there's a Japan decision about the App Store. Was that Korea?
Korea.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Korea. Okay. Yeah. You know, you've had some of these state level decisions about App Store policies that kind of come down in the last 6 months to a year. And that's really, I think, loosened the reins a little bit to allow some of this stuff to some of these new revenue models, like, you know, Bitcoin revenue models to get through a little bit easier than they may have, you know, let's just say 5 years ago, because I mean, at that point things were still just locked down as, you know, tight as they can be. I mean, I saw yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before, that Google, you know, they've dropped their percentage split on the App Store from 30 to 15 across the board. And I mean, like there's real movement of loosening up App Store restrictive policies right now.
They have to, because they see the writing on the wall. I mean, I'm Graphene. I'm actually able to get an update right now. Fountain. I'm real happy about that because I can't use the Google Play Store. But you know, there's people are routing around them like everything always happens. It's just, it's nature. All this shit is just a bug on the internet. We route around it.
Yeah.
And now it hurts. It hurts when they do nasty stuff. So yeah. Now,
would you do live chat support too, or would you just support comments? Like, what do you think would fit your app?
Yeah, I think we want to support everything where possible, or at least, you know, test it out. I think both the live tag and cross app comments are really exciting. And I think if you can tie them together as well, you know, podcasters are already doing this. They're just using other platforms to do it. So, and they'll have, you know, I've seen podcasts doing it where they'll have the live stream on YouTube, the live stream on Twitter, the live stream on Twitch.
Right.
And you have essentially three chat rooms and, you know, no unified comments. So I think they're very much linked. And yeah, definitely we want to support both of them.
That's cool.
I want to go back to your promotion that you did. I mean, from your side, did you get, I don't know what metric you were using. Were you using metrics to see more people downloading the app or just usage of Boostergrams? What was the metric and how'd that perform for you?
Yeah, I think it was definitely really, it definitely gave us a boost in the numbers. I think the biggest challenge we've seen, which is to do with this as well, is people that either one already know about Bitcoin and Lightning and know how it kind of works, or two, are incredibly interested and invested in trying out new tech, they're able to onboard to Lightning, top up their Fountain wallet, and support podcasts. But the difficulty is, for your average person that's never heard of Bitcoin, it's very difficult for them to,
of course,
top up their wallet on Fountain. Mm-hmm. And so we saw this with the promotion. It was mostly people that were already supporting, kind of like increasing their support. And so we definitely got a lift, but it was from existing people that had onboarded. I think mm-hmm. when this is really going to, you know, grow is when we can go and talk to a random person off the street and say, hey, check out this app, and you can instantly have Bitcoin on the Lightning Network. That's the biggest challenge. And I'm still unclear on exactly how that's going to happen. Because the way I think about it as well is every app that's on your home screen right now is going to either be replaced or is going to integrate Lightning into it. So this is not, I think, just the problem that we're facing as a podcast app or even podcasting 2.0. Every app is going to need some kind of on-ramp into Lightning. And so I think it will be solved. I think it will be solved. And I think it may be solved by like a third-party infrastructure provider, like Strike have announced an API. So it would be interesting to see what they do there. But yeah, that's the biggest challenge we see.
What are you recommending people currently for your users?
Yeah, so Blue Wallet is the one we recommend for mm-hmm. two reasons. One, it's just a really great user interface, really clean and intuitive. And two, they have the ability to buy Bitcoin with a debit or credit card within the app through MoonPay.
Yeah.
So that's the easiest way to do it. We're actually in the process of writing like a guide because we do need to do better on that. But yeah, Blue Wallet and the MoonPay integration is great.
Yeah, I like Blue Wallet a lot. It has a lot of fun features you can play with, multi-sig wallets and all this stuff, secret wallets with separate passwords.
Yeah, I think 5 years. That's my gut feeling. It says this sometime, you know, within, by the end of 5 years, there's going to be a more seamless onboarding infrastructure available, whether it's Strike or whoever it is, through the, you know, that you can hook in and do, you know, and just do those conversions directly, just kind of like the same as you would with a Stripe, Stripe API. I feel like that's going to exist. And that, you know, I think maybe the thing that people don't understand about Strike is that, and I've been trying to express this, is that the way that they've avoided the whole issue with exchanging fiat for Bitcoin is by maintaining your money as the fiat dollar amount until right at the time that you transfer it. So when it's not like going on to a Bitcoin exchange and buying a bunch of Bitcoin, and now your money, it gets converted when you buy it. You deposit the money into your Strike account, and then when you go to top up a wallet or do a transfer, then it gets converted into Bitcoin. So there's no complication of whether you had a gain or a loss or that kind of thing. It takes a lot of that away, and that's really the only way this stuff gets solved when you're talking about converting, you know, back and forth.
I'll take your 5 years, and I will say within 3 years, you will be able to send sats directly to your wallet from your bank account.
Oh, well, okay. I got to write that down.
Please put it in the, well, we can't have a red book.
No, it's on legal pad. Some of those yellow paper
legal pad. Where's the yellow legal pad?
Adam. 3 years. All right. We got this.
You want to wait? You want to get in on this, Oscar? You want to get in on this action?
Yeah, I'll get in on this. I'll go for 2 years.
Oh, whoa. And what's the mechanism?
The mechanism will be, yeah, I think similar to what Dave said, it will be through your bank app. I think it will be instant transfer.
I consider that the fact that he agreed with me, I consider a moral victory.
Wait a minute. He was agreeing with me. He said Dave, but he meant me because he said your banker will do it.
Oscar is a politician. He knows how to split the difference.
He's a horrible. And by the way, what's this with the DJ name, Oscar Mary? Is this your birth name?
The DJ name. Yeah, it's my birth name. Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. It's like, hey, everybody, it's Oscar Mary in the morning with you. Woohoo! Yeah, baby! Woo-gah!
You think I should start a show?
Hell yeah. Yes. With this exact, yes. with your one AirPod, it sounds great. Don't worry. The show will be fantastic. Actually, I'm quite impressed with the one ear pod. It sounds pretty decent for what it is.
Everybody know. I mean, every podcaster will tell you, if you ask them, should I start a podcast? The answer is always unequivocally yes.
Yes, of course. Of course you should. Yeah. What are you talking about? Hey, should we have a little fun here?
How's that? I like fun. Let's do it.
All right. So the new media show, this was a shockwave throughout podcasting.
Facebook.
Yes, everyone was reporting on the interview. It's the Facebook interview. Dum, dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum. Within podcasting, it was like the Harry and Meghan interview.
It was. Yes, and Todd was Oprah, but Rob was there too. Rob was like Gail. I don't know. I don't know if you follow any of this, Oscar. If you at all, you know what we're even talking about here.
Yeah, I followed it.
Okay. So now, first of all, because I listened to the whole show, and it was promoted on Pod News and Podcast Business Journal, and it was really billed as the Facebook interview. So I'm like, okay, I want to hear what's Facebook doing, and so it's the Facebook team who were on the new media show, and I have, of course, what we discuss here is nothing personal. It has nothing to do with the Facebook team. It has nothing to do with Rob and Todd. But I just have to make fun of a couple of things.
So I didn't hear this interview at all. I like you okay. Brought clips. I've not heard this.
Right. So this is. So the idea is Facebook is supporting podcasting or integrating podcasting. And we really don't know what that is or what it means. And so this was the interview, I believe, where we would try and we would learn about it. We'd understand what is really going on. And by the way, this is not an interview. This was an ad. I'm sorry to say it, but when the both people who are interviewing the guests are under NDA with their company, it's not really an interview. But okay, I digress. I think I'll just say a bottom line, consciously, subconsciously, whatever it is, both Libsyn and Blueberry really want to do everything they can to do everything to make sure that they're connected into this with Facebook. So they can hopefully get acquired. And I know that to be a fact, because if I was them, that's what I'd want too. So I understand. It doesn't mean you can escape scorn. So let's listen to the Silicon Valley team, because that's exactly what this is. Silicon Valley speak. And I'll have to translate once in a while as to what is actually being said. What?
Do they say right?
Oh, you better believe it. Of course.
Okay, cool.
We'll just start with a quick little intro clip just to get you ready.
Definitely learning as we go. We're absolutely paying close attention to the data, how users are using our product, what learnings we can really nail down where we are, so that as we expand, again, intentionality is the name of the game here.
Just want you to know, again, intentionality is the name of the... What?
And learnings. Learnings.
Learnings. But intentionality is the name of the game. And I want to change our branding to reflect that as well.
Intentionality is the name of the game here. And so we're really, really making sure that we're going to do right by our both sides of the ecosystem, our podcast creators and our users.
Okay. So this is why I got ticked off right in the beginning. When someone from Facebook comes in and says, our podcast creators,
they don't have podcast creators.
They don't have podcast creators. It's not your podcast creators. And I'm sorry, I hate the creator word. Creator Dave, what are your thoughts?
I think the my first thought is that Facebook, their audio is terrible.
Yeah.
Why do they have...
Yeah, thank you. For a podcast team, your audio sucks. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook literally has $100 billion in the bank. I think they could this could pony up for a couple of
SMB7s
or whatever.
A lav mic, at least. Yes. Good point, sir. Good point. Yes.
I'm not heard a lot of verbs turned into, nouns turned into verbs yet. I'm waiting on that.
Okay. Creator Oscar, any comments so far?
Yeah, I would say with Facebook, I just think, how can you try and fit that much scope into one app? People open apps to do one thing. And with Facebook, they have basically every digital action under the sun in one app. And I just don't see how that's ever going to work. So that's my view there.
It's the iTunes of social media.
I mean, it's a news feed, it's family updates, it's the news, it's the newspaper, it's podcasting, it's video.
Marketplace, Craigslist.
It's the marketplace.
It's the metaverse.
You know, it's the metaverse, yeah. Think of something that you can do online, and there's probably a button somewhere in Facebook that lets you do it, and it's just confusing.
So the number one thing, apparently, what all podcasters want, from a platform, because that's what Facebook is, and that's why we're all excited, because we all want our stuff to be on Facebook. You see, this is where the action is, because they have 1.7 billion users. So we're hypnotized.
Sort of ish.
We all want metrics. Are you going to give us some metrics? We'll be able to see what's going on. Will we have a feedback loop like Podcasting 2.0 has with streaming sats and stuff? I don't know. Just a thought.
Let me ask a really important question.
By the way, this is a really important question.
Okay.
And it's because Rob said so.
Let me ask a really important question, too, and that's really relates to metrics. What are you guys doing on that side to support podcasters knowing how many people are actually listening to content through Facebook?
This is like the number one thing you would want, I would think. To be able to show the podcaster something that, you know, how it's performing on the platform, don't you think?
Can I predict what the metric is there, like what their answer is?
Yeah.
They are going to hook into their existing, that they have no download stats. I mean, we already know, I mean, they can't have download stats. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to give, their metrics are going to be engagement based on traditional Facebook ad sale pipeline.
Good like guess.
That's the only thing. I mean, it's the only thing they have. That's good guess.
All. Yeah.
They're going to shoehorn this stuff into their existing whatever you call that stuff, demographic pipeline sales.
Right. But are you as a podcaster going to see that?
I would think no, because it's completely irrelevant.
Exactly.
Yes, this is top of mind.
Oh, it's top of mind.
For sure, thinking about metrics and how we can help podcasters be armed with data to understand what's listening behavior looking like on Facebook. We don't have a strict timeline on this yet, but
no.
Like I promised that we are actively thinking about this right now. And actively thinking. For now, we just encourage using the insights that you get from your hosting provider.
Oh, insights. But
that said, very aware that I think we can provide additional color around like audience or just like listening behavior as well. And so trying to figure out what that looks like for us and how we can create value. Okay.
The answer is no, you're not going to get anything because we are taking from you. We are taking the people who are your audience. We're taking their information and folding that into our sales pipeline. Exactly, Dave. PodSage strikes again.
They're not your partner, not your users.
No, they're Facebook's users.
They're Facebook's users.
Yeah. Make sure you understand this. Now, Oscar, anything you want to say?
No, I think you covered it well there.
Oscar's like, man, these guys are mean. All right. Now we had a part of the advertisement, the infomercial, where we had questions from the listeners. And wouldn't you know it, it was another very important question.
We did have a YouTube question come in. It says, why is Facebook interested in podcasts? And is a team thinking about hosting podcasts on Facebook's own servers? Ooh, that's a big question.
Ooh, yeah. So, why is it a big question? Because if Facebook is going to host podcasts on their platform, they're taking away Todd and Rob's business. Or B, we can get acquired. Ooh, why would you build something all over again when you could buy us? I'm just being mean.
Do you want to split that one?
they couldn't even answer. Say, oh, you want to split that one?
Own servers. Ooh, that's a big question.
Do you want to split that one?
Yeah. I can dive in a little bit to kind of like what got us here. Because, I mean, like we've definitely talked about, the podcast industry is pretty well established.
Okay. Now, here comes some Silicon Valley speak you will not believe.
There definitely are some key stronger players, but you know, like you said, there are maybe eight that are, you know, cracking the 1%, and that's primarily on like consumption and directory type of spaces, as opposed to really kind of connecting the social angle. But we know people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stop. What did she just say?
I know.
Directory. I feel like she's talking about us.
Well, no. No. And by the way, not a single podcasting 2.0 question in the entire interview, even though they're planning on doing clips. Listen up, Oscar. They're doing clips and they're going to do transcripts, but it's going to be their own thing. It's not going to integrate with anything. They're doing their own. At least that's all we can believe, because there were no questions were asked, because it's an ad.
Because she said there's bigger, there's eight. Definitely bigger players.
Well, what's she saying? About, yeah, she's saying there's eight players that are in the top 1%. I had to listen to it a couple times myself, so I can help you.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's where I got tripped up. All right.
So Apple, Spotify, Google, maybe Amazon, you know, and then directory wise, I don't think we fit in their 1%. I don't think they see us as a player at all.
I thought she was saying that there's some smaller also rans like some directories like Podcast Index.
That are
less than 1%.
Oh yeah, no, we're pieces of shit in her mind. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And very, very unimportant. But you know, she knows, you know, they study the podcasting industry, so they know it all now.
There definitely are some key stronger players, but you know, like you said, there are maybe eight that are, you know, cracking the 1%, and that's primarily on like consumption and directory type of spaces, as opposed to really kind of connecting the social angle. But we know people mm-hmm. are passionate about podcasts. We know that it's very personal to people, and we know looking at Facebook.
What does that have to do with anything about hosting? It's very personal. It's very personal.
We have 170+ million people connected just to podcasts.
Okay, here's where everyone got boners. Oh, what? 170 million connected just to podcast pages? Oh, no.
Is now. And that's over a couple 100,000 podcast pages. Not even getting into like the fan groups and the different podcast show groups that also exist, where we see a ton of really deep engagement and also a lot more activity than comparing to a lot of the other group types, right?
Right.
And so that's where we don't necessarily just want to become a consumption player. That's not really, like, there are a bunch of those out there.
They don't want to be a consumption player. That's interesting.
Consumption player. But I thought that's all they are.
Yeah, but they don't want to be that. They don't want, she's telling you. She does. They don't want to be a consumption. What do you think a Oscar, what do you think a consumption, what'd she call it, Dave?
A
consumption player is. Are you a consumption player?
I guess we are a consumption player, yeah, in her mind. I think Facebook just seems to be a bit confused, because I don't think they know what they want to be, and I don't think anyone else knows what they're supposed to be either. And I think, you know, think about how you use apps. When you want to listen to a podcast, maybe you're going for a walk or a drive, or you're doing the washing up, or just a task where you want to listen, you open your podcast app to do that. When you want to check your email, you open your email app to do that. When you want to check your messages, you open your messaging app. When you want to, and the list goes on. When you want to read the news, you open your news app. You know, I don't see how Facebook fits into that natural way of doing things trying to offer everything.
You're so right about this, I think I just have the wisdom of age here, because we had America Online, which was exactly what Facebook was. It had all your stuff in there. It had your marketplace, it had your email, it had your bulletin boards or whatever they called it. It had your sexy chat, you know, all this stuff was there. And then people wanted the internet, and then they got a browser, and they never looked back, and America Online became a dial-up provider almost overnight. And it tanked, one of the largest corporations in history at the time. It was such a dumb decision. And so what's happened is, now we have this reversal where one company has tried to suck it all back in, which obviously makes for a much more compelling case to keep apps like WhatsApp separated. I think that's actually why WhatsApp is so successful still. But ultimately, when it comes to product, it's a lot more exciting, I think, for users in general. But for everybody, it's like, okay, a mail product. Well, there's a million different email programs. It's a lot more exciting. And in the open source world, we can actually, as users, have influence on the end product.
It's worse than Spotify. Because, I mean, everybody thinks that Spotify is not a great app experience. And part of the reason for that is the fact that they have, when you go, just like Oscar said, when you go into listen to a podcast, you don't want to have to go into an app and then go find podcasts.
Right. That's like, the worst.
Where do I go to get podcasts?
And
so that, and that's bad enough in Spotify when they only have music and podcasts. Imagine going into an app that has 12 different things that you can go through and trying to go through and navigate through there. It's not a good consumption player experience.
No. Consumption player. Anyway, I'm sorry. They do not.
Well, she said she didn't want to be that anyway. So
yeah, so they're not interested in being in a consumption player. Well, I guess all your podcasts belong to us then.
Right. And so that's where we don't necessarily just want to become a consumption player. That's not really, like, there are a bunch of those out there. We really, really want to do those, combine the monetization, which can also be the hosting and also the discovery and also just providing opportunities for people to connect with other fans that are interested in that particular show or that particular niche topic that none of your other IRL friends are actually listening to.
Your IRL friends? Who still says that?
AFK.
OMG.
Fans that are interested in that particular show or that particular niche topic that none of your other IRL friends are actually listening to. And that's really where we can differentiate, especially on the listener side. And then just looking at the sheer volumes and obviously our platform, what we can do in terms of the distribution and reach, helping, bigger creators and smaller creators, better engage with
bigger creators and smaller creators. Attention, mm-hmm. attention, red flag, red flag. That means they don't care at all about you. They want bigger creators like Joe Budden. They've paid Joe Budden to come on board. It's so transparent. Of course. And there's another one. It's Joe Budden and another one. I forget what it is.
All right, this is my prediction.
14 seconds left.
Go hoping, for it. Bigger creators and smaller creators, better engage with their existing followers, but also introducing new audiences to these shows is really where we think that we can deliver value. So super, super excited about,
super, super excited
in coming years for what we can do.
Dave, I'm super, super excited.
About what, Adam?
About whatever you're going to say. I just want to be super, super excited. Everyone seems to be super, super excited.
I'm super, super, super excited about this prediction, which is that they will go after, they're going to go after the exact same model as Spotify.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They're going to hit, so everybody's locked. This is what's happening. Everybody's locking up big podcasters. Because that's where, 90% of the podcasting money is. Mm-hmm. It's in Joe Rogan, Joe Budden.
Well, they'll have to buy a podcasting host. And I pray to God,
they don't have to buy a podcasting.
Yes,
host.
They have to. That's the model.
Spotify's model. You can't get. They don't need a host for Joe Rogan. You come to their app.
But they bought a host.
Yeah, they bought a host, but it's a redheaded stepchild that they
But that's my point. They're stupid, so they're going to do the same thing. She says we're going to be in hosting. They're going to buy one. And I hope it's Libsyn and Blueberry. I really do. I want those guys to be rich so that they can put it into Satoshis and stream that shit. Boost me, bitch.
they deserve it. They've been around a long
yes,
time.
Yes, they do. Who's the ugly red-headed stepchild? These guys need to be acquired.
Yeah, they need to acquire Libery. They do
Libery. We'll call it Libery. Libery. Yeah, Libery. Blue Sin. Blue Sin is also interesting. I like Blue Sin.
Yeah, they need. I mean, Hawaii is expensive. Ty needs an exit strategy.
He doesn't live in Hawaii.
He did for.
No, like he 10 did. Years. Yeah, no, but he's in Ohio, isn't he? I think he's in Ohio.
That's yeah,
Minnesota,
no, he's in Michigan.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, he's in Austin. Actually, he said he was going to be in Austin. I was like, hey, let's have dinner. Like, dude, I live 90 miles out now. It's like, ugh.
Oh yeah,
you need. I need a little more time. Yeah, I need a little more time.
Well, this is the problem, and this is why we mock all these huge companies that come into this to get to the podcasting world is because. They come in, they barely understand it, and all they want to do is make money and take away. They're going to come in and immediately compete with everybody,
yeah,
and make everybody mad.
Yeah, swing their dick around, boing, boing, boing.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're going to compete with the hosting companies. They're going to compete with the app developers like Oscar. They're going to compete with everybody.
And this is the Ford.
That's all they know how to do.
Yeah, and this is the Ford operating base team who is going out there to make nice with everybody.
Yeah. And so, I mean, immediately from the moment you step your foot in the door, that everybody hates you. Good job.
All right. So then this last clip is for you, Oscar, because, you know, you may want to consider monetizing through Facebag because, you know, they got plans. You know, screw this Lightning stuff.
So is there any part of your strategy that, or at least that you can talk about at this point that has anything to do with monetization?
So, I mean, one of the.
She said, yeah.
Kind of.
This is what you do when you're not sure how much you want to say about something.
So, I mean, one of the. Kind of the way that we're kind of looking at podcasts, kind of long term is really just creating this holistic experience where we are being able to connect.
Okay. The only other person who I've accepted holistic experience from is you. You said it.
They stole our word.
Yes, they did.
Yes. That is some douchebaggery.
I think your words literally stole. Those are words you wrote, if I recall.
I feel violated at this moment.
But we're kind of looking at podcasts, kind of long term, is really just creating this holistic experience where we are being able to connect for the users, the discovery, and the consumption, and then for the creators, the distribution, the monetization, and ultimately the creating of that community or that social connection, kind of providing that 360.
Wait a minute. She's providing a 360, baby. we're getting monetization, we're getting socialization, we're getting hydrophonicization, and it's a 360. One more time.
And the consumption, and then for the creators, the distribution, the monetization, and ultimately the creating of that community or that social connection, kind of providing that 360 kind of engagement model.
It's that 360 kind of engagement model.
Is the 360 just like the full circle? Is that what you're trying to say?
Let's talk to our expert.
I hate this. Let's
talk to our expert. Oscar, what are your thoughts about the 360 engagement model?
I don't know what a 360 engagement
model is. Well, you're not suitable for Facebook then.
No, you're not going to make any money on Facebook.
Only a little more torture, Oscar. Hang in there.
Nothing specific, and I know Irina will probably be back too, but nothing specific that we're looking to announce about monetization, but it is one of the key pieces of the creator value that we're looking to get into, because what's really important for us is to, of course, support the bigger partners and the more established media companies and things like that, but also the everyday creators.
So, of course, we are going to support the big news organizations, the big people. But, of course, we care about the everyday creators. What kind of creator are you, Dave? An everyday creator?
I'm an Every Friday creator.
Really important for us is to, of course, support the bigger partners and the more established media companies and things like that, but also the everyday creators. Especially during COVID, we started to see so many people creating new podcasts. And ultimately, we know that
podcasts... did you hear about that, Dave?
I've heard about that.
During COVID, like a whole bunch of people started podcasting?
Yeah, and they're all on Anchor, and they all make $0.
Podcasts, and ultimately, we know that podcasts, probably more so than other media types, are so personal to people. And so being able to provide that connection model for some of the newer niche everyday creators.
Niche everyday creators, sustainable to continue
providing this content out to their users is going to be really key, and monetization is a big part of that.
So yes, no, nothing I can say, but yes, and it's going to be for the next.
So many people are going to get screwed on this deal.
What was that neck again?
And so being able to provide that connection model for some of the newer niche everyday creators.
Newer niche everyday creators. That's who you are, people. That's how they view you, as a newer niche everyday creator. So, just had to be said.
That's disappointing.
It is disappointing. And you know what we learned? Nothing. The whole interview, nothing. I really didn't learn anything other than, yeah, they're doing stuff.
Yeah. Everybody's, they're gonna come in and everybody's going to hate them just like they hate Spotify.
Yeah, yeah. Oscar, what can we do to make your life easier, better, or more bountiful?
I think one thing that we could maybe do, because as I said previously, the biggest problem we have is for the average person on the street who's never heard of Bitcoin or Lightning, how can we get them some sats in their wallet when they first open Fountain? I was thinking maybe if you guys are up for it, what we could do is we'll create a wallet, put it in the split of today's show, and then all the sats that we get from that split, we put in a little pot somewhere, and then we just put 1,000 sats in every new user's wallet so that they have something to start supporting podcasts. Because that's one of the things we've noticed as well, is that once people start, they'll continue. So that's something we could do if you're up for it.
Dave, I'm good with it. You?
I think it's a fantastic idea.
We don't have Eric here to ask, but I'm sure he'd be okay with it.
Yeah, like I love this idea of putting in. Should we do that as a permanent thing? Have a permanent faucet?
Well, this is very similar to what we were talking about several weeks ago. It's like, how do we get money into? How do we have a pot, and you know, not just for Fountain, preferably, but for all developers, so that they can hand out podcast apps with, you know, pre-filled with, as you say, 1,000 sats, you know, and set the default at 10 and let them boost, you know, something, although it's a little, not really enough for Boostagram. Because
I like this idea.
We'll do that. Of course we will. I'd be happy to do that.
Amazing.
Yeah, of course. But I think we should continue to look at a community type function here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
something everyone could take part in, because I want people to be able to try Podfriend and CurioCaster, and also with a couple sats in there.
I like the idea of some sort of a wallet that forwards to other wallets, maybe. And this is more of a sort of second step aspirational thing. Taking that idea of having like a wallet that you're going to fund other wallets with. So then like everybody could put in, a lot of people are putting in the Human Rights Foundation as like a 5% split or something. We could have a wallet where the sats hit the wallet and immediately go out to another wallet and get split out into a wallet at Fountain, a wallet at Podfriend, a wallet at Podverse, a wallet at Castomatic, a wallet at CurioCaster. They go out to all the other wallets.
Okay, here's how it works.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think we make it simpler. Yeah. So we have this, the wallet that takes contributions from apps, podcasts, whatever, and then we run a cron job, and we split up, you know, a percentage and ship it off. That's going to be the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, and it's just like a forwarder.
Yeah, but it, of course, it won't really forward, but, you know, just run a cron to send it off to the shit. I don't know. Is it built yet?
Yeah.
Can you just figure it out and build it? Oscar, have you scripted it yet? Is it done?
I don't think it will take long. And also, the podcasters can do this as well.
Oh, so totally. And that's a beautiful idea. The whole thing. I'm loving it.
Yeah, because especially, you know, some of the bigger Bitcoin podcasts that are out there, essentially, this is, it's a way to onboard new people to Bitcoin.
To Bitcoin, of course it is. It's absolutely.
If they take 5% of all of the sats that they're getting and just send them straight off to new users that have never heard of Bitcoin or are completely new to Bitcoin, you know, that's beneficial to the whole space. So, yeah, I think this would work really well.
All right.
It's a Lightning Podcasting Charity Fund.
Yeah, we need a name for it.
Yeah, the LPCF. I just named it.
Wait a minute. Let me write it down. What is it again, Dave?
No, it's the Lightning Podcast Charity Fund.
Charity Fund. Yeah, LPCF. I'm liking it.
I'm resisting calling it a slush fund.
That has bad a SAT slush fund.
Yeah. The SSF. speaking of SAS,
we should thank a couple people who have supported this Value for Value project, not just the podcast, but the whole shebang, which will include these SATs we'll now be handing out to. We're like communism, is what we are. We're like a bunch of commies over here handing out SATs to everybody, which somehow fits beautifully in the Bitcoin ethos, which is very attractive. So your support goes toward that. It goes towards supporting all the servers and really keeping everything moving forward. And it's extremely appreciated. We do take your fiat fund coupons at podcastindex.org. The bottom, there's a red donate button. That goes through PayPal, credit cards accepted. But, of course, we'd love to get our streaming sats, per minute sats, and our boosts and boostograms. And as part of the Value for Value system, we like to feed back to you with the notes you sent us and some of the support that we received.
The first guy that we got on board here is Marco Armit coming in. He comes in almost every month with $500.
Thank you, Marco.
I wanted to say something about this because I want people to understand what he's doing here. He's a successful app developer who is one of the few that is actually making a living income off of a podcast app.
Yeah.
And what he's doing is he's donating back to us every month. And in order to keep our servers running so that we can reduce the financial burden on other podcast app developers by them not having to run their own servers. So what he's doing is he's using his success in the podcast app world to subsidize or help smaller podcast app developers come on board. I mean, it's a very ecumenical thing that he's doing here because, I mean, he's essentially funding people who may end up one day being a competitor to his.
Yeah. But he knows, he's learned because he's been doing this for a long time. He knows that this is how it works better this way, much better.
And it's an example of competing on features and quality instead of competing on
exclusion. Yes. Yeah, exactly. We really appreciate it, Marco.
Yes. Thank you very much.
We'll just call that a boost.
Boost!
Even though it isn't.
It's a fiat fund coupon boost.
Fiat fund coupon boost, yes.
Michael Kimmerer sent us $50, and he says, sad puppy, take my fiat fund coupons while they're still worth something. Michael Kimmerer. Shahomish, Washington.
Yeah.
Snohomish. God, that's hard to say. Jeez. I'm just from Alabama. I can't say this stuff. Ah. Okay, so Dreb Scott. Ah. This is a boostergram. Okay. But it's so big that I'd put it into the end of the PayPal stack.
What?
It is a 100,000. No, it's 100,000 sats. That's deserving of the off the top of the stack there. He says, Dreb Scott said, can I get a birthday shout out for Lady Lulu, the voice of You've Been Defragmented?
You've been defragmented.
Is he not a, I mean, we didn't really do the big baller boost, you know, so, but is this the big baller boost of the day?
That is the big baller boost of the day, although we do have some errata coming up.
Well, I'm going to give it to him. Hold
baller!
On.
Baller! Boost! Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala!
Boost.
All right. Big baller.
He says,
boost.
Lady Lulu turns 5 today. She got missed in the NA birthday segment yesterday.
Oh, no.
Check out the Dreb Mobile in the last week's chapter art. Just kidding. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting to you. Go podcasting! Are you sure? She got forgotten. I feel horrible about that.
No, y'all don't care about Dreb on NA.
Yeah, we can't. What do you mean we can't? Because you're such a douche. No, we care very much. And I remember because he sent in a note specifically congratulating her. So, and it was in yellow. So how that could not be.
It was in yellow and you still forgot it.
Well, I don't forget things, Dave.
Oh, that's Eric's problem. That's Eric's problem.
Yes, exactly.
Let's just blame Eric. He's not here.
No, don't, because it's messed up when it's not his fault.
No, I'm just kidding, Mayor. I love you, man. Let's see, Booberry, he sent 1,000 sats in last week, and I'm still trying to find it. I'm just going to go ahead and credit him with 1,000 sats. It was from last week. Okay. Thank you, Booberry. He's trying to help me out to find this thing. So this is another follow-up from last week. Who was it? Somebody sent in, I think it was anonymous, and said, how many sats are flowing through the system on the daily? Do you remember that question from last week?
I remember the question. Yeah. You were going to get an answer.
Yes. And I have an answer. And I think Oscar, you may be interested to hear this, and you may be able to anecdotally back me up on this number. So 22 days or 21 full days into the month of October, there were 1,977,447 sats that came through the index node. So that's 94,000 sats per day. And if we take it's not exactly a 1% because
sometimes it's 10%.
Yeah, because of the way it's mostly Sphinx, because of the way they split things. So I'm just going to take a margin of error and say 10%, just to be on the safe side. So if at 10%, you're looking at 1 million sats a day flowing through podcasting, Bitcoin podcasting. Does that sound feasible to you, Oscar?
Yeah, definitely. That sounds feasible.
Based on what you're seeing?
Yeah, I would say, we see this in all of the biggest boosts that we've seen have all been for the Podcasting 2.0 podcast. So that's one.
As they should be.
Yes, correct.
As they should be, yeah. So that's one thing to take into account, which might push that percentage a little bit higher.
So that's,
yeah,
so we're talking,
I think it's feasible.
We're talking $600 a day.
Yeah, flowing through podcasting. Yep. That's pretty darn good. I haven't charted it.
It's the Facebook team.
Just fell down the stairs.
The Facebook team just fell.
That's them cranking the servers up.
That's right. We'll crush them. Podcasting 3.0 we have here.
Let's see. Who is this? Oh, Brian of London says, last boost before the new show. 3,333 sats.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Boost.
Let's see. Pitar says he gave 500 sats and says, boost Obama, baby. That's right.
Woohoo.
Boost
a grand.
Dadud, D-A-D-U-D.
Mm-hmm.
He says, taking advantage of the 2-for-1 boost in Fountain. Love you guys.
Yes. Beautiful.
Boost.
And how many do we get?
10,000 sats.
Yeah, I saw that one doubled. I saw a couple of 10,000s doubled. Thanks, Oscar.
And he says, taking advantage of the 2-for-1 boosts in Fountain. Love you guys. Cranberries will be on the way soon as I figure out where to send them. Okay.
Oh, I sent him our address.
Oh, did you? Oh,
I yeah. Did you see the, because I guess, was this on the social? They were like, how many cranberries do you have? And he showed a picture.
Oh, no.
It's like a football field.
Holy jeez.
It's like, well, just a little bit for two people will be fine. Thanks. I guess they're professional, big cranberry guys.
Yeah. If maybe I'll send some cranberries to Oscar. They might arrive in the mail decrepit and disgusting. But
oh yeah, Oscar, forward. Before I forget, could you email me your node ID?
Yeah, we'll do.
Do you have a full node, or do you have an LMPay with a custom key and all that stuff?
Well, I think we'll do it with an LMPay custom key, just so that we can set up.
Yeah, just
if we put the split through to new users and new wallets, then we'll do that. Yeah, so I think we'll set it up that way.
Yeah, so just whatever you have, email me ASAP so that I can do the LMNOP when I publish, because I want to have it.
Boost!
Whoa, how'd that happen? I want to have it. That was spontaneous boostage, sorry. Because I want to put, because I published the feed, I want to put it in right away.
Yeah, I'll do that now.
Okay, cool.
See, Sir Bill sent us 2 boostergrams for 5,000 sats each.
Nice.
They both say 2-for-1 boost from Fountain. Boost!
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
So that's 10,000 sats. Thank you, Sir Bill.
Beautiful.
Harv Hat sent 2,222 sats. And his note says podcasting 2s, and that came through CurioCaster.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Harv Hat. Let's see. NV4X sent us 3,373 sats through CurioCaster and says, thank you for your courage and
73s.
N4VX.
Mm, Kilo 5, Alpha Charlie Charlie.
Thank you, NV4X. Let's see who we got. Oh, this is from Daniel N. He says he sent us 15,000 sats through Fountain.
Uh-huh. Doubled? Do we get that doubled? Did we get it on the promotion?
It's only up to 10,000, I think so.
Oh, there was a cap. I didn't know. It was a cap, yeah, Oscar.
Yeah, 10,000 cap.
Yeah, there was a cap just in case someone...
Pussy.
Went crazy.
Come on, man. Pussy.
He was afraid Dreb was going to drop a bomb on him. It's like, oh my God, we don't have a lightning channel anymore. What just happened?
Exactly. That's funny.
So Daniel N. says, he sent us 15,000 sats, and he says, to Bill Prague, speak for yourself. I plan on continuing the petty corrective boostergrams.
Ah, good. Good, good, good. We like that.
Yes.
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 More of that.
More arguments, please, over boostergrams.
Yeah. And feel free to continue to argue once we have the live stuff up. You know, you can just be on that page arguing with boostergrams all day long. We're okay with it.
Yeah, and changing everybody's font to Comic Sans.
There's that.
1,000 sats from Via. He says, hello, honorable gentlemen. Your efforts regarding the second incarnation of the art of podcasting are the most delightfully above the average.
Mm.
I shall wish you will continue your good work and have the best of luck while doing so. It has been very entertaining to follow along. Oh, thank you, Vila.
Thank you very much.
Podcasts are cool.
What a pleasantly formal note that was.
It was formal, but it was good.
Yes. Boostergram from Anonymous from Northern Virginia says, my first boost, TM. Go podcasting.
Boost!
Go podcasting!
That was a stack of ones. 11,111 sats through Breeze.
But what do you know?
I'm just going nuts here.
You fell on the MIDI panel.
Yeah.
Let's see. 1,000 sats from Chris 482572. He says, that came through Fountain, and he says, what stops an imposter from publishing the same live reason code to Hive? Okay, well, nothing stops an imposter from publishing the same live reason code, but since all of the Hive Podping posting accounts are known and blessed by the master account, then we just ignore anything that doesn't that has not been blessed.
I don't believe that's appropriate language anymore. Creator what? Dave?
Blessed?
No, master.
Oh, master. Oh, sorry. Yeah. This, with the progenitor Hive account.
Okay. Okay. We'll accept. Yes. Yes. Creator okay. Dave. Well done.
Okay. Oh, it's Creator Dave.
I'm yeah. We're all creators now. Didn't you know that? We all belong to Facebook. We're their creators.
Creator when by itself sounds terrible, but when you put somebody's real name behind it,
it's Creator really Dave. Good. Yeah. It doesn't, it like sounds like yes. Brother Dave.
Thank you, Creator cool. Adam.
At any time, Creator Dave. After you, sir.
Creator Mere Mortals sent us 2,134 sets and says, any possibility of a chat with Roy about making Breeze unanonymous, or is it a feature? And he sent that through Breeze.
You know, thank you, Creator Kyron. I mentioned this with, what did he say? He said, yeah, they're going to do it, but it was low priority for some reason. But I think they're going to do it. I don't see why not. Oh, no, I remember. I'm sorry. He wants to tie in authenticate, I believe. Don't hold me to it. Because, you know, they're working on Matrix authentication and using Matrix as a client, chat client, which I think is really, you know, a part of his OnlyFans for Lightning.
Yeah.
I just can't help it. So I think that he was waiting to... that he would prefer to have that be the authenticator and the quote-unquote name or handle versus some free-form thing, which makes sense from their development process. Which was... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that the only piece of negative feedback that I ever heard about Fountain was the name and email address. Oscar.
Yeah.
And by the way, Comic Strip Blogger is a douche about those things all the time. So don't feel like you're singled out on that one.
No. Yeah, we actually have an option without an account coming. That's in development. We're just making sure everything works without that. But yeah, totally understand that feedback. And it should be available relatively soon as well.
I found it surprising, quite honestly. I found it really surprising the number of people who fell over that.
I didn't mind.
I don't mind. I never mind that shit.
Now it's because you
I'll make it up. I'll make some. You know, I can make up stuff. Like, yeah. I have different accounts for different things.
It didn't bother me. And then, if you compare it to, so I went, you know, went through Fountain. I was like, okay, just create an account. Well, I mean, I'm used to creating accounts on things.
Yeah.
But then, there was this other app that came out called Podapolo or something. Podapole or something. And I tried to go through it to check it out. Oh my God. I mean, they wanted everything. I mean, like I thought I was just selling my house. I mean, it was just, it was like 10 pages of stuff. And I eventually bailed out.
Just
I was like,
to sign is, up? Really?
Oh gosh. I mean, it's like email address, name, age, date of birth, like phone number. I mean, it's like, oh my God, this is horrible. Yeah.
Wow.
No, compared to that, the fountain was meager.
Yeah.
Brian of London sent us 923 sats, and he says, my Hive funds are paid hourly, and if the community thinks I just left to buy a yacht, they could defund me in an instant.
Again, we're really happy, Brian. We're happy you're a millionaire off of our backs. It's no problem.
He's Brian of London again, 1,828. See, sets.
He feels guilty. Now he knows, like, oh shit, man, they're on to me. I'm making all this hardcore Hive cash. I got to send some on. I got to share the love.
No, I'm sorry, but Hive is the Australian dollar of crypto.
Oh man.
Sorry, Brian.
Dude, so harsh.
3Speak was the first with 100% value for all channels without users needing to do anything on the back end. I always stress that bit.
Oh, okay. That's because, No Agenda Tube was doing this before. Now we're already into the pissing game over who did what first.
Yeah. Typical. Yeah. This is how we make, we are a traditional media organization.
Yeah.
We make money by making everybody angry at each other. And then they argue by sending us boostergrams.
And this model it will be studied in Harvard Business School. For many, many decades to come.
Boost!
How did they
do
it?
You need to get on this tip, Oscar. This needs to be part of your business plan.
Yeah, you got to have people arguing about your shit, but doing it over boostagrams.
Yeah. Because they're gonna gripe anyway, so you might as well get paid for it. let's see. Who is this? Mere Mortals? Oh, here we go. Kyron. I'm assuming this is Kyron. It could be Juan. He says, it's 1,248 sats through Fountain. He says, doubling my doubles with the Oscar's generosity.
Oh, yeah. That's right. This was such a great idea, Oscar. I can't thank you enough. This was good.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, we hope to do it more. I mean, every time we get a certain amount of app fees from the 5%, we'll probably just do another campaign. So, yeah.
Well, let's also make sure that everyone starts recycling into getting wallets started. What is such a good idea?
It's the lightning circular economy.
Yeah, it's the donut model.
Well, look who this is. Oscar Mary sent us.
What?
He sent us a duck boost, 22,222 sats, and he sent it through Fountain, of course. Boost! Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you, Oscar. Very, very nice of you.
Oh, here's another one. Oscar Mary again, 50,000 sats. And he said, okay, here's what. I wish you could read this yourself. It feels like I'm narrating.
He's a middleman for some reason.
it's like listening to somebody else narrate your audiobook back to you. Oscar says, last week we thought we had a 500K sat baller boost from Kyle Hebert. Turns out it didn't go through. Apologies for the confusion. Fountain baller boost record still held by Aerostatica at 250K.
Oh, okay. What happened then? Somewhere we have 500,000 sats lost in transaction?
No, they didn't go through on our side. So it was our fault on that one. Yeah. So
was it a channel liquidity thing?
Probably.
No, it was actually in the actual app and the server side code. So no sats were sent anywhere. It was just, yeah.
Ah, okay. All right. Cool. Thank you for the 50K, Oscar. Let's see. Cotton Gin sent us a 1776 Liberty boost through PodFriend. Thank you, Cotton Gin.
Boost.
I
love hearing the Liberty boost on Cridlin's show.
Because it has nothing to do with anything. Because nothing to,
it's like messing with them. It's like poking their eye out. Yeah. I like that. It's good. It's good.
Let's see. Okay, this says from PodFriend through PodFriend. I don't know if this was maybe Martin. He says, sent 1,000 sats and said, what a time to be alive.
No kidding.
And then there's another boost that said for 100 sats. And it just says, testing some boost stuff. Just ignore me. No, sir. Mm-mm. We never ignore a boost around here.
We do not.
Kyle Hebert, speaking of, sent 1,331 sats. Let's see. What did he say? Oh no, did I lose it? Oh no. I may have lost. Okay, I'm sticking this one to the side. I think I lost Kyle's boost. It got cut off the page.
That previous boostagram was for 100 sats?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, what janky ass app is letting that through?
PodFriend. It came through PodFriend.
Martin, man, shore it up, baby.
No,
come on, we can't have jank boosts.
No, he's got the he's got the keys to the kingdom, so he can send whatever boosts he wants.
Oh, it was from Martin. Okay, Martin, yeah. Martin I see.
No, he's God mode.
He does, yeah, definitely God mode. Did you find Kyle Hebert's note?
No, I'm going to find it. And
why don't you keep reading it? It's in the boostagrams, right? I can probably find it.
No, I will have to find it. I think I'll have to read it next week because it cut off the page and it was one that didn't come through. Anyway, I'll read it next week, Kyle. My apologies. Let's see. Anonymous through Breeze, 7,734 sats. He says, greetings. It's quite cozy down here. Okay.
All right. All right. Oh, I agree. It feels good.
1,000 sats, and again through Anonymous, through Breeze, was Anonymous, and it says, Ring of Fire.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I fell into a podcast, Ring of Fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and
It burns, burns, burns. The Ring of Fire podcast. Ring of Fire.
Sizzling hot.
1,000 sats. And this may be from Alex. I don't know. It's through Breeze. It says, Help Chris Fisher on the boost road. I did send him mail and got no response. So Chris Fisher is...
Chris is the... No, that's Chad.
That's Chad. I think Chris is one of the hosts of the Coder Radio podcast. And so,
okay. Yeah. I subscribe to that.
Yeah, I'd like to try to get one of those dudes on sometime. They seem like pretty cool guys.
Yeah.
1,000 sats anonymous through Breeze and says, thanks for the show. Well, you're welcome. You know what? I think I may have just found Kyle Hebert's note. This is, I think I had my pages mixed up. So, Kyle had sent 1,331 sats. He says, I know you love Dalsum from Street Fighter.
Yes.
No love for Ryu? I actually voiced him on one of the current games.
Oh, really? Oh, man, you're so cool. No, I don't know. I mean, Dalsum, and what was the chick's name? She was badass.
Chun-Li.
Was that her name?
Yeah, I think it's Chun-Li.
You had to either be her or Dalsum. That was no other way. All those dudes were no good. You could kick their ass.
Did you play Street Fighter, Oscar?
Do you know what's funny? I used to love Street Fighter when I was a kid. And about two weeks ago, I was out on a run. And I've got this running playlist that I've had for about 10 years. And one of the songs came on, and it's this... UK rapper called DEE, and he's got a song called Street Fighting Time, and he's basically taken the soundtrack and rapped over it.
Nice.
And so I thought it popped into my head that I'd send it to Kyle just in case he'd never come across it. Yeah, so I sent it over. Check that out. Maybe if you're on a run, it's a good running song.
Cool.
Breeze Anonymous, 1,000 sats. So, the message is boost. Because I can and I will.
Yes.
Boost! Like a very philosophical boost there. I can and I will. Let's see. Oh, who is this? Oh, from at Fountain. Oh, wait, these are our top-ups. Okay. So that's, I got a flurry of those from you guys at Fountain. There was 3333 from Topping Up Brown of London. 156 sats topping up Papa Pack fan. Who is this? 10,000 sats for Sir Bill. 10,000 for Aristatica. Another 10,000 for Dadud. However you pronounce that name.
Dadud.
Okay. Dadud. That's right. Another 10,000 for Dude. 1,000 for Chris 482572. And 1,248 for Mere Mortals. Thanks to all those guys for doing the top up match boost.
And thank you, Oscar and Nick, and the mysterious investors.
The Russians.
The guys in tracksuits who are funding this operation. We really appreciate it, Oscar. That's a great idea. I really, really like that.
No worries. Hope to do more.
Chimp 98 sent 1,000 sats, and his message is Yoga Flame.
we've struck a chord. Yes. Street Fighter is back, baby.
Whenever I attempt to do any sort of voice under Kyle Hebert, he dies a little inside.
Yes.
I want to personally apologize to you, Kyle, for even attempting to do anything. Couple more left. You got Anonymous through Breeze. Sent 15,150 sats. Oh, wait, that's not anonymous. So he's got his name down here. He says, it's a Wilt Chamberlain plus a Van Halen boost. Thanks, y'all.
And I saw this one come in. And so I think we need to update. Maybe we could do LeBron James
Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain is like really, really, really dating us.
That's the 10,000, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 10,000. And a 5150 boost. I like it. That's from, this name is Gotelf, G-O-T-H-E-L-F.
Gotelf? Yeah, something like Gotelf. That.
Okay. Thank you for that. Oh, we got some Dutch here. This is 9,999 sats. And I'm going to attempt this. What je zeg ben jezelf? Your speech reflects who, what you are. Bedankt voor alles. Is that?
Yeah, keep going. You're very good.
No, that's it. That's all.
Yeah, so what je zeg ben jezelf. That's, you know, this is the old country they talk about projection. So you are what you say others are. Wat je zeg ben jezelf. And then bedankt voor alles means thanks for everything. And you were very understandable.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Yeah. All right. That's
the guys in the lab coats would be by to pick you up pretty soon, but you were understandable.
That's that is from Tim. Is that maybe Tim?
Oh, Kuterian? That's Tim. Yeah, that's Tim who does
NA website?
NA website. Yes.
This is so out.
I'm stroking away here. Help me.
Are your hands up? Are your hands up in front of you? Like,
yes.
Like
I don't, with my elbows in and my wrists out. Exactly.
We got, and then the last year we got monthly donors. Our monthly donors, Keith Gibson, $50. Thank you every month for that, Keith. I really appreciate it. Tim Hudgens, my buddy, $25. Enigma Labs, $20. David Woodfine, $3. Survive Vash, that's survive on the podcast index.socials, that's $5.
Right. Survive, yep.
Paul Erskine, our buddy, $11.14. Dwayne Goldie, a longtime helper of us, is $8. Michael Goggin, $5, another long timer. Charles Current, $5, been with us forever. Sean McCune, he's did a monthly a couple of months ago, $20. James Sullivan, great name, $10. And Christopher Reamer, another long timer, $10. Thank you guys. That's our group.
Yeah, thank you all very much. Listen how many people are supporting us versus when we just started out, and look at the vast universe of stuff that we're doing. People are talking about this everywhere, all over the world. Silicon Valley is shaken to its core. They're sending out forward operating teams to try and capture the last bits of whatever Spotify crumbs they couldn't get. And we, in the meantime, move forward and march. Like, what do you say, Podsage?
You know, fired up. You know, I like that. I like this.
It's Friday.
It's like 1984.
It's Friday. yes. All right. Oscar, I cannot tell you how appreciative I am, and Dave will speak for himself, but I know the sentiment that you have chosen this path to develop Fountain and to create a real business out of it. I love that. You, as any developer, you have many options at your disposal, and it's really appreciated. God's work is being done before our very eyes.
Well, thanks, Adam. I really appreciate that. And I really just think it's down to you guys with what you've created here. It's amazing. And I just hope that, you know, with Fountain, and obviously I'm sure the other app developers feel this way as well, I'm just hoping that we can fulfill your vision. And, you know, whatever you guys come up with, we'll be sure to build it into the app. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing where we get to.
Hey, Oscar, tell everybody how, like, where they can get Fountain. Is it on iOS and the Google App Store, or is it just F-Droid? How do they get that?
Yeah, so it's available on iOS and Android. So if you go to fountain.fm, we've got the download links there. You can download on iOS and Android. And yeah, if you're listening and you haven't tried it out yet, would really appreciate you downloading it, checking it out, listening to some podcasts, sending some sats. And yeah, if you have any feedback or you'd like something built into it, just send me an email, oscar@fountain.fm. And yeah, happy to build whatever people want.
Is that better to reach you than the Telegram channel? Do you want to point people there or just leave
it? Yeah, the email's the best way, probably.
Okay. All right. All right, cool, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. Really appreciate you being here at the board meeting, and cannot wait to see how everything develops in Fountainland. And again, thank you very much. And we'll be putting in a split for, I wrote it down, for the LPCF, the Lightning Podcast Charity Fund. TM, Dave Jones.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dave, anything else for you? Do you need anything? Do you need anybody to bring you some coffee, some lattes, or just some code something for you?
No, I just finished my my Gatorade G2 Glacier Freeze.
Mm.
I'm well hydrated. heading back into the mix.
Back to work, baby. All right, everybody, that's it for Podcasting 2.0. We will be back next Friday to bring you all the latest on podcastindex.org, the namespace, and all the gossip. Till then, take it easy. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Boost!